I want to just tell you this morning that I want to share with you about the message on Father's Day. And I know that this day is not always an easy day because some of us have, well, difficult memories of our dads. Some of us, it's painful. Why? Because we grew up under the law, not of love, but love of the law. And if we didn't fulfill all those expectations, our dads just weren't happy. Our fathers loved the law. They didn't operate under the law of love. And for many of us, our fathers valued and really appreciated us only when we had immediate and unconditional compliance. Excuse me, compliance. If we weren't compliant, then we couldn't get their approval. So Father's Day isn't exactly the best day for us. However, we know we have a Heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally, right? Isn't it good to know that? I think it is as well. However, I think some of us have some misconceptions about the Father in heaven. If I were to ask you today to write down some characteristics of Jesus, like what was Jesus' personality, what would you say? Would you say loving, kind, compassionate, forgiving, a friend, one that covers, doesn't expose? All those things. But if I were to ask you to make a list of the characteristics of the Father in heaven, some of you may have a little more difficult time writing down those attributes. As a matter of fact, some of us have had a religious experience that we thank God that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And you know what he's praying, don't you? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Don't smash them. Don't beat them. We have this misconception about, thank you so much. We have this misconception about the Father in heaven. I appreciate that. And did you know that Hebrews chapter 1 and 3 says that Jesus is the expressed image of the Father? Matter of fact, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So every attribute and every characteristic of Jesus is really a mere image of the Father in heaven. But for some reason, we have difficulty with seeing our Heavenly Father in that manner. And a lot of us, we have been caused to see, I guess, our Heavenly Father the way we experienced our natural fathers. And so we're almost afraid of Dad. Or at least think that he is ready to punish us at a drop of hat. But that's not him at all. And perhaps in another time we can talk more about our Heavenly Father. But today I want to share with you four pillars that I believe are of an absolute necessity as a father. Here's the good news. And I thank God for it, because when I prepare messages like this, I am like under heavy conviction. Because I'm a dad. And if I could rewind, boy, would I love to rewind. How many dads understand that we didn't do everything right? And we would love to be able to do some things over. But here's the good news. Children are resilient. And if you could get these four pillars down, you could go back to them and you can restore relationships that maybe have been fractured. Or maybe even further cause that relationship to be enhanced. There's a story in Luke chapter 15, and most of you know it. It's called The Prodigal Son. Have you ever read it? Yes. Yeah, it's about this young man who said, Dad, I want all my stuff. I want my inheritance now. Give it to me. Father said, okay. And he took off and squandered all that he had. And we read that story, and we think that, wow, the father was so awesome, because even though his son wanted to leave, get out from under his authority, he still loved him. And I, like you, have put that father on a pedestal. But I think I'm going to take him down from there today. Because I don't think he was all that. Think about it with me. He had one son who didn't want to be with him, who wasn't intimate with him, who wanted his father for what he could give him instead of what he could experience with him. I'm not saying it's the son's fault, but I think the father has to accept some responsibility here as well. Not only did he have one son who only wanted stuff from him, he had another son who lived with him yet was embittered in his heart, who was angry with the father all of his days. We know that because when the younger son ultimately came back, the elder son acted out. And the father said, "Listen, you need to come to the party, son." So I'm going to suggest that this father isn't absolutely perfect. Just like all of us in here as dads, we're not absolutely perfect. And I want our children to hear that. I want our wives to hear that. But most importantly, guys, I want you to hear that. But just because we weren't perfect doesn't mean that we cannot become more perfected. And this message, I think, is going to help us to accomplish that today. Because the four pillars of a home are vital to bringing the love of God into reality in our children. The first pillar that I want to introduce to you today is called unconditional love. Now, unconditional love, I read in Jeremiah 31 and 3, this verse, "The Lord has appeared of old, saying to me, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" Now, I have to tell you, as a child growing up, I had some amazing parents. I think I told you earlier, my dad was a third grade educated immigrant. Spoke broken English. Not much for education. Hard worker, though. And my mother, a fifth grade educated person. Grew up on a farm in Pennsylvania. Abused as a child. Alcoholic father. The classic case. But the hard worker. And I remember that as a child growing up, I would often plead with my dad to go to the park or let's go swimming or, hey, can we play some catch? And when my father would refuse, my mother would step in and say, "Listen, your dad is tired. He works hard." I'm like, "Yeah, but I just want him to take us swimming or I'd like to play some catch with him." And my mother would often say this, "Your father works hard. Who do you think puts food on the table? Who do you think gives you shelter and a place to sleep at night? And who do you think purchased those clothes for you that you can go to school? Your father, that's who." And my response was, "You know what? I would rather have his love and affection than I would the latest label out or a grand banqueting table every night or silk sheets on my bed." You know, somehow for children, it's just not enough, dads, for us to provide shelter, food, and clothing. They need more than that. They need unconditional love. It's not enough for fathers to even have feelings for their children. I mean, I knew my dad loved me, I guess, because he provided. He gave a shelter. He paid for clothes. Okay. But I know that this communication of unconditional love is what I really long for. And it's interesting. I didn't really even know I was missing it until I realized I didn't have it. And it's so vital as now as a Christian that we don't transfer those same experiences that we have with our natural father to our heavenly father. Because your heavenly father, he's going to provide for you. Jesus even said, I mean, come on, look at the birds of the air. They don't toil and they don't spin and yet their barns are full. God feeds them. How much more your heavenly Father? In other words, he loves you and will care for you. Don't define his love based on whether you have enough or don't have enough. But get connected to his heart. He has an undying, unchanging love for you. But love has to be communicated and expressed in a way that's meaningful to a child. You could tell me you love me, but really when you tell me how you love me or why you love me, it really impacts my life. Because now I understand you're connected to me. You know me, and you still love me. To love me out of obligation or out of parental responsibility is one level, but to know my likes and dislikes and to understand how I speak the language of love Now you're talking. What does that mean? You know, each of our children are unique. I've had four children, and I have to say they're all individuals and they're all unique. One's not like the other. How many can say they know what I'm talking about? As parents, your children don't come out like cookie cutter children. It's an amazing thing. And one of the most difficult things to hear when you are a child growing up with other siblings is, why can't you be like your sister? Because I'm not. This contrast and this comparison. A father would be wise to learn how to speak their son or their daughter's love language. Now, Dr. Gary Chapman, one of the greatest authors on this area, his book entitled The Five Love Languages, it's gone around the world, and really what he's talking about is that there are five basic components of love that's communicated between individuals. And if you learn what their love language is and learn how to speak it, you can go on a deeper level of intimacy with that person. Marriages would do well to understand their spouse's love language. For example, number one, words of affirmation. Some people just respond when you say attaboy. Some people really feel love when you recognize their achievements. Those young people standing on this stage today, and you're hooping and hollering and you're clapping and you're celebrating with them, to some of them it meant more than others. Why? Because their love language is words of affirmation. And it doesn't matter where it comes from. When they feel affirmed, they feel loved. A wise father would understand what their child's love language is and learn how to speak it. Whether it's words of affirmation or, secondly, acts of service. You know, sometimes your child feels love or knows love when you have acts of service toward them. Whether that's preparing for them or helping them pack for their weekend trip and get away with the youth group, or whether it's some other act of kindness that you display towards them, all of a sudden they're sensing and feeling love or receiving gifts. Hey, I was out at the store today. I saw this and I knew you loved these. And Dad wanted to get you one. Because it's their love language, you're communicating to them on an intimate level. And that's really what was missing in the father's house. Luke chapter 15, there was relationship. There was a father present. There were two sons. There was a family. But intimacy was lost. And really, as Christians, you could be in the house, you could be in church, but what the Father is looking for is intimacy with us. And if we had difficulty with intimacy in our natural Father, we're going to have difficulty trying to establish intimacy with our Heavenly Father. But that's the strength of our relationship with God. What about quality time? I just want to hang out with you. Or what about physical touch? Some children just want to be held. Some children just want to have their hair stroked. Some children just want to know that you're there and you want them to sit on your lap for no reason. Because their love language is physical touch. Every child must learn to communicate their love in each category, but especially how they relate to their father. In their specific language of love. It would do well for us as fathers to learn and to discover what those are. We often say, get into your child's world. You might have heard that saying before. What does that mean? Well, if they're into cheerleading, get your pom-poms out. If they're into video games, learn how to do it. Rather than scolding the child and say, you know what, why don't you go outside and play? When I was your age, we were out climbing trees and playing baseball. And rather than criticizing, say, hey, tell me about this latest game. Get in their world, speak their language, and learn how to connect on a level of intimacy. And you know, it even means more to that child because they know you don't like video games. But you're only doing it because you want to establish a relationship and intimacy with them. Number one pillar in a relationship with the Father and His children is to display unconditional love. I want my children to know one thing. I don't want to be a father that has a love of the law. You don't have to perform for me. I went through that as a child. I realized that my parents' approval of me was based on my performance. Their expectations of me, when I met those expectations, I felt loved. Well, that's a horrible bondage to be in, you know. Because now people have expectations of you beyond your own extended family. Now you run into the corporate world. Now you run into a community. Now you come into a ministry. And you find yourself trying to gain approval of other people by meeting the expectations that they've imposed on you. And you wear yourself out. And you realize that you're missing intimacy. And soon, it doesn't take long, you drop out of the community of faith because you can't find real love. We transfer that to everybody, often in our own marriages. But beyond unconditional love, the second pillar is a sense of security. Psalm 91 and 4. Can we read this one together if you can get it on the screen? Psalm 91, 4 says, let's read it. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Look, every child needs to feel safe. They need to feel safe. I remember times as a young child, my father still hadn't controlled his drinking problem. Was he an alcoholic? Probably. He spent many a nights way too long at the Young Men's Hungarian Club, where they would drink the night away and sing old songs from the old country. Coming home late, staggering into the kitchen, my mother was waiting for him. Oh, yes, she was. She got right in his face. However, I was in bed, and the commotion made me wake up and listen and created such insecurity as I remember one night I'll never forget. Drop that knife. Don't you lift that knife to me. In the drunken stupor, my dad screamed, and my mother said, I'll kill you. Now, as a young child in bed, I became very insecure because the pillar of a sense of security was missing. And it's so many of us as young children, when dads decide to leave mom, or mom decides to leave dad, and somehow they feel responsible, don't they? They feel as though they're being rejected for that bottle, or they're being rejected for that other person. And they wonder, Dad, what did I do? A sense of insecurity. When I went to Bible college many years ago, one of the rules that they gave us right from the beginning was no PDA on campus. Now, I have to say, I didn't know what PDA was, but I soon found out. It's called public display of affection. What does that mean? That means you can't hold hands with a girl. You can't hug. You can't kiss her on the cheek. No public display of affection. I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't matter because I'm married. She's my wife. And if I want to kiss her, I'm going to kiss her. Well, I found out when we're on campus, I wasn't allowed to do that. Have you ever done this in front of your children where, on purpose, you show some PDA? Kids get uncomfortable with that. Ooh, that's gross. Stop it. That's nasty. I love doing that in front of my kids. Even today, as adults, T and I, every once in a while, will get some PDA on. Don't we? Just every once in a while. And she'll give me a kiss, I'll hold her. She'll try to get away. I say, you ain't going nowhere. And I'm doing that for a reason. I want them to feel a sense of security. There's something about them when they see mom loving dad and dad loving mom. There's this sense of security. You know, there are times I've told you I've gone to the doctor, and one of the questions they ask me, because I'm over 60, not by much, but I'm over 60. If whether or not I'm eating regularly, I'm like, do I look like I'm not? Number two, do you feel safe at home? course I feel safe. I feel safe because I'm packing. I feel safe. I'm packing because I'm leaving for Haiti on Friday to do a healing crusade. And if anybody wants to go with me, call me. And I'll help you pack for this trip. But do you feel safe? And a child needs to feel safe. It's one of the pillars of a home that has been given the responsibility of the father. I believe there's two traits of being safe or being secure. Number one is a father's consistency. I remember my mom, I'd come home and I'd say, hey, I want to be able to do this or I want to be able to do that. And she said, well, you have to ask your father. I said, well, where's he at? Well, he's sleeping. We don't want to ask him now. Or today wouldn't be a good day to talk to him. Let's ask him tomorrow. I'm like, why are we going to ask him tomorrow? Because he's not in the mood for your question. And I learned early on that there were certain mood swings that could be manipulated. You dip in and you dip out when necessary. Consistency is the name of the game for fathers. That it matters not if you work 12 hours that day or just the 8. You're as consistent with your commitment to making that child feel safe and secure that no matter how they ask or what they ask, you're going to communicate to them unconditional love. You've all been there. I've done it myself. You could be busy working on a project and a child walk into your room and start asking or talking to you about a particular really non-important issue, and you feel like, you know what, I'm busy right now, can I talk to you in a minute? Or, yeah, sure, whatever you'd like to do, that'd be fine with me. Or, Dad, I wanted to show you this. This is something that I'm really excited about. It's a school project, and I'm hoping to be able to really work with this team, and I just wanted to show you. Say, honey, I'm busy right now, can I look at it later? You know, they usually don't argue with you, they just walk out the door quietly. But creating an environment where it's safe and where it's secure and where it's unconditional love, that father drops immediately his agenda and picks up that child's agenda. That communicates more than the science project. That communicates more whether or not you can go to the dance on Friday or not, whether you can use the car on the weekend or not. It communicates that you're important to me, your sense of security and your sense of safety is important to me, and I'm going to be consistent no matter how busy I am, how tired I am, how long of a day I've had. It really doesn't matter because when it comes to you, it's unconditional love. When a child can begin to feel that, there's an intimate bond that's formed in that home. The second one, besides consistency, is commitment. A sense of loyalty and faithfulness. I have to tell you that I did my best, and I wish I could rewind. Reading this and putting all this together, I'm thinking, God, I could have been a better father. I could have done this better. Do we get a second chance? He said, yes, I'll give you grandchildren. You know the beauty about grandchildren? You call the parents and say, come pick them up. That's an amazing thing. Yesterday we had 5 of them over at our little place. It's only 800 square feet. We love our apartment. It's awesome. But when you put 5 preteens and teens in our living room and they're starting to dance to this latest song that they were doing at camp and they're trying to show each other the move, the house is full. I just got back from driving all over creation, doing a couple weddings. I'm exhausted. I told Tina, I said, I'm going in the bedroom. I've got to get a break. She took them out and had a little bit of fun with them, took them to the movies to see Inside, Outside. Came back raving about the movie. But she called me, she said, is Rachel and Louie at the house yet? I said, well, no, they're not here. She said, well, that's funny. They needed to pick up Emma. Well, that's all right. I'll just let April take Emma home. I said, oh, so they're not coming here? I'm like, I'm getting excited. She said, I'll be home in a few minutes. A few minutes later, the door opened up, and it was just Tina by herself. And I said, wow, where's all the kids? She said, their parents got them. I said, yes! This is awesome! So you get to do it over again. Grandparenting is an amazing gift from God. It's a redeeming gift from God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And for those of you that aren't quite there yet, get ready, because you're going to love every minute of it. Loyalty and faithfulness, being committed to your children. I can remember there's times when my children would be playing sports events, and my son was on a basketball team at our school. We had a high school through 12, K through 12 in our church, and I was excited about that. We were building a great high school, and things changed economically, and it had to close, sadly. But during those formative years, our team was pretty good, and for a little high school of only about 125 kids, we were beating public high schools on the same division. So it was amazing. And my son's game was to be played on Friday night. I was on a ministry trip, and I did everything I could to get home because I didn't want to miss his game. I wanted to be committed to what's important to him. And I remember not making it until halftime. And I know he was looking for me. Number 44, he was looking for me. And at halftime, when I walked in and they were warming up, he looked over at me, gave me that smile. To this day, he's 32, 33 years old. I'll never forget the connection that we made when I displayed to him my commitment. T and I have kind of followed through with that with our grandchildren. You know, we have three adult, I guess they are adult grandchildren now. Dominic's 23 and Dion's 20 and Jeremiah's 20. And they were always playing some kind of sport. And they're pretty athletically gifted. You know, Dominic was a starting basketball player in a Division I school, and Jeremiah was amazing. He did a scholarship for football, number 69, big old beef. I mean, he was hurting people. And Dion was amazing at baseball. And whenever they had a game, it seemed like they always had a game, or there were two games on one day. And the emails would go out to the entire family. Jeremiah has a game. Okay, Jeremiah has a game. All right, cancel this, move that, because we got to go to Jeremiah's game. Why? Because we need to be committed to what's important to him. And oftentimes you look up in the stands and there's 20 of us up there, all of our family up there, and we'd be screaming, Jeremiah! Woo-hoo! Jeremiah! And he was so embarrassed. We loved it. I loved it. Up and Betty and Mark would come. They'd be up there. We'd have more than 20. And Jeremiah had his helmet on. He wasn't looking at us. We knew he could hear us, but he wasn't looking at us. But I know he loved every minute. And finally, he would look over and do, and then back down again. Consistency and commitment. Pillar number two, a sense of security based on pillar number one, unconditional love. Number three, the third pillar is a place of celebration. Zephaniah 3:17, I love this verse. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Did you know that word singing and gladness means dancing? He will dance over you. I love it when fathers dance over their children's achievements. Like, whoop, whoop. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's my girl. That's my boy. Whoop, whoop. Learning how to celebrate your children's achievement. Listen to this. Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family. It takes at least 40 words of praise to counteract just one word of criticism in a child's heart. Let me say that again. 40 words of praise to counteract one word of criticism spoken by a father. That's incredible to me. And church, we've got to learn as dads to learn how to put our praise on, not just to God, but to our children. And look for a celebration, no matter what it is. For any moment, we are subject to a breakout and a party here at this household. Learn your child's spiritual gifting early and celebrate them when they operate in that gift. For example, you may have a son or a daughter who has a gift of giving. You know what kids do when they have the gift of giving? They go to school. And you just bought them their brand new lunchbox, a Spider-Man lunchbox. Because they begged for the Spider-Man lunchbox. It was $4.99 more than the other one, but you got it for them because you love them. They go to lunch. After school, they come home and they can't find their lunchbox. And you say, honey, where's your lunchbox? Oh, I gave it to my friend John. No, 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 no. You did not give away the Spider-Man lunchbox. No, you did not. Tell me, you did not do that. No, I gave it to him. Honey, why'd you give it to him? Because he was sad. Why was he sad? All the kids were making fun of him at our lunch table because he's the only one with a brown bag lunch. And he always wanted a Spider-Man lunchbox because he told me. So I just gave it to him because, Mommy, I didn't want him to be sad anymore. And Mommy says, oh, wait till your father gets home. But see, a father that knows how to celebrate their child's gifting is a father who will do what this father did. The next morning, he wakes up his son, and on the table, along with his bowl and box of cereal, is glitter, construction paper, multicolors, glue, scissors, bows, all kinds of other paraphernalia, and a box of brown lunch bags. So the kid sits down and he starts eating. He goes, Dad, what is all this stuff? He said, we're going to make you a lunch bag. Okay. I just thought what you did yesterday was so awesome. Let's make your brown bag lunch the most awesome in your school. And so they go to work and they cut construction paper and they put bells on it and whistles on it. And then he packs his lunch. He said, I'm so proud of what you did. That was so awesome. I bet you your friend is so encouraged today. Now you have a good day. God bless you. We'll see you after school. And he goes to school with his decorated brown bag lunch. And all the kids are like, dude, where'd you get that awesome bag? Why? Because a dad learned how to celebrate the child's gift rather than criticize the child's gift. Dads, if you and I are going to be connected on a level of intimacy, we're going to have unconditional love for sure, create a sense of security, and we're going to have to create times of celebration in their life. Say, what do you celebrate? Anything you can think of. Well, Mom, I'm ready for bed. I took my shower. I brushed my teeth. And I've got all my homework. And Dad goes, whoop, whoop, let's party. So, well, that's stupid. They're only doing what they're supposed to do. Not if you're a father that understands the power of the pillar of celebration. Whether it's just simply doing what they're supposed to do or whether it's major achievements in life. The facts are that we can celebrate them every moment of every day. And there's no greater celebration than when a father can be happy over his child. You see, the home must be a place where we celebrate for any reason. We used to do this all the time when the kids were much younger. We do it occasionally now, but when they would come over to visit and they would open the door, T and I would go nuts. They would walk in and go, woo! Hey, Precious is here! Hey, Precious, how are you? Come on in here, girl. Give me a big hug. She's like, oh, okay. Then she kind of backs into you. That's her hug. And then Becca would walk in and Troy would walk in. We're like, woo, group hug, come on, you're here. Yeah, we're here. Then the next group would come in and we'd do it and they would join us. And now it's a bigger entourage of celebration. And it's something how smiles were produced when family learns how to celebrate. Come on, how much more the family of God? Lastly, connect purpose with destiny. Psalm 139 and verse 16 says, your eyes saw my substance being yet formed, in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Can I make an announcement today? There was not one ill-timed birth in this entire room. You're not a mistake. You're not out of season or out of time. You're not illegitimate. God knew from the very foundations of the earth when you would be formed in your mother's womb, and he celebrates you. And fathers, we need to connect purpose and destiny in the lives of our children. How do we do that? How do we connect them? We learn to speak the language of your child's future. Invest in your child's talents. Invest in their gifting. Cultivate their passion by adding the fuel of your own interest and your excitement. I mentioned video games earlier. I don't know how to play video games. I don't even like video games. I don't get them. I don't care what little man falls off of where and how many points you get. I don't care. I don't watch funny YouTube videos and laugh. I don't waste my time. But my grandkids do. And I've learned that when you can connect purpose and destiny, even in the little things, and show interest, you fuel the passion for a gifting they may be developing in them. Wouldn't it be amazing? Because you encourage with your interest and your passion, your son or daughter, and they discovered, invented, and created the next big video game that made them multiple millions of dollars and helped you in your retirement. Woo! So you learn to speak your child's future, their language. And here's three points of strength that I believe need to be spoken into our children's hearts. Number one, tell them they're special on the earth. How often? Every day. You're special on this earth. There's nobody like you. I just want you to know that. Look at me, hon. You're special. You're beautiful. You're so intelligent. I'm so proud of you. Now, why is that important? Because our Father in heaven says that all the time. Number two, your uniqueness is the answer to existing dilemmas and problems that your generation is facing. And I can hardly wait to see the discovery you're going to make to answer some of those. I know you're not a mistake. You are right on time. And you're about to discover some of the answers to the problems and the dilemmas that your generation is facing. Yeah, you're the best player on the planet. You know, a lot of people have criticized LeBron when he said, I'm the best basketball player on the planet. I got a feeling Gloria, his mom, told him that all the time. Told him so many times, the dude actually believes it. And it's interesting, when you believe something, you become something. Come on, somebody. What do your child believe? What does your child believe? I believe you're awesome. I believe you're great. I believe you can do anything you want to do. Number three, you're a gift of God's love to your family. You're a gift of God's love to your friends. You're a gift of God's love to this world. You make me smile. Every day when I look at you, I smile. I want to challenge you, dads. Over the next 12 months, just don't make it a Father's Day. Make it a Father's Year. And connect with your children on these four levels of pillars of unconditional love and a sense of security, celebrating their lives and connecting their purpose and their destiny. I mean every day. And if you have to, take notes. Or get the CD. Or download it for free off the internet. And do this over the next 12 months. Now, I know your kids are going to respond. Here's what they're going to say. Oh, you're just repeating what Pastor said. I remember when he said, you're special on the earth. Well, that's okay. Because you can tell them, you know what, just like Pastor said on Sunday, sweetheart, you are special on the earth. And you go through the whole litany of the list, and then 2 months later you say, you know, like some great guy once said, you are special on the earth. And then about 2 months later, you say, now, sweetheart, you know, like Daddy has always said, you are special on the earth. And if you'll be consistent and you'll be committed, to imparting that into their life, they're going to develop not only success on this earth, but they're going to become connected in intimacy with the Heavenly Father in the spiritual kingdom. And isn't that what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen? Saying Happy Father's Day is not always easy. I was 30 years old when my father passed away. And it was difficult. And yet at the same time, I know I can't go back and try to do things over. I know that I had erred and crumbled the pillars of the four that I'm sharing with you many times in my relationship with my children. And I wish I could go back, but I can't. But I know this, that they're resilient enough, even at age 40, that if I were to invest in them on this level, they would respond positively. It takes a consistent overdose of enthusiasm, of unconditional love, passion, and interest to fuel the fire of their gifting, to learn their language and begin to speak it every day. And I'll guarantee you, 12 months from now, your family will be more blessed and strengthened because you took the time to do it. I suppose in my older age, I'm getting sentimental. In the kingdom, we can talk about all the spiritual gifts and healing and the power of God, and that's great. But man, if your home's crumbling, you could tell me about how cool you are and how powerful you preach and how big your church is, but your home's shaking. You could tell me about the money that you make, the businesses that you own, the winter home that you have, the getaway place. But if your home's crumbling, a man would be wise to measure himself based on the pillars that he's established, of which he could build the superstructure. And my challenge for us today is, guys, we need to step it up because our kids are hurting. And you may not think that, but they need strengthened in every one of these areas. Look, my dad, he didn't even know it, but he had a love of the law. He didn't operate in the law of love. I know I disappointed him a lot of times. I remember hearing my mom say, "You're going to give me a heart attack. I can't believe you're doing this to me." I'm like, wow, I'm sorry I disappoint you. I remember working hard to try to impress them. If you're here today as a Christian, you're trying to do that with your father, then you really don't know your father. Because he's a loving God. And if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. So don't allow your experience to redefine who the Father is in heaven. Some of us here this morning may have grown up in a home where your father expressed his love only when you measured up to his expectations. That was me. I remember showing my parents our first home that we bought. Or actually, first home after we got back from Bible college. Tina, we loved that home there on Lexington. We thought it was a great house. But I was so nervous when my mom and dad were going to come over to inspect it. I'm a grown man, got children of my own. I've got a Bachelor of Arts degree. I'm enrolled in seminary for my master's. I'm married. And here comes mom and dad pulling up in the driveway, and I'm scared. "What do you think, Mom? What do you think, Dad? Look at the baseboard. That's original. They don't make baseboard like that anymore." And I'm trying to convince them. "Look at the breakfast milk. Isn't that awesome? You don't find that in modern homes today." And finally they said, "It's a good home." I'm like, "Wow. So glad they approve." even though I loved it, I couldn't really experience the love of that home unless they loved it. Shoot, man, that had not to be. So maybe you've grown up in that kind of a home, or maybe you've had a father in your life where he was present, but not really. I remember one time my dad saying to me, can I share with you how I'm feeling right now, son? Oh, no, we didn't do that at our house. I never had an intimate conversation like that. I had no idea what his fears were, what his greatest joys were. He was present, but he wasn't there. Maybe that's how you grew up. Or maybe you grew up in a home where it was all about your father and everything revolved around him. Or you grew up in a home where your father abused you physically, sexually, verbally. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you right now, your Heavenly Father is not like that. And He wants to love you unconditionally. He wants to give you a sense of security and safety. He wants to celebrate you every day that you take a breath. And He wants to connect you with purpose and destiny. Because He's committed to you. He loves you. And as a father of imperfection, I wish I could rewind, but I know this. I'm going to make a commitment over the next 12 months to be a father that establishes those four pillars in the lives of my children. And even if they're adults, they still need my approval and love. And I'm going to give it to them. So here's what I'd like to do as we close. If your children are here with you, awesome. If they're not, you can just speak their names under your breath. But I'd like to have all the fathers to stand on your feet one more time, please, if you don't mind. And if your children are near you, could you grab them and pull them close and make them stand next to you? All right? I know this might be weird for the kids. They're like, okay, Dad, what are you doing? But just get them close. If they're not here, it's okay. All right? But you can speak under your breath their names. And we're going to bless our children, and you're going to make a commitment to them to establish the four pillars in their lives. So Holy Spirit, would you come right now? And would you do only what you can do? I pray now, Father, as every father stands in this room, we speak our children's name. And I'm committed today, Father, to create unconditional love in my relationship with them. I don't need them to perform. I just need them to be. And I pray today, God, that I would be a man that would create a sense of security and safety. That I would bless them by loving their mother, loving their siblings, and loving God. Father, I pray today that you'd help me to celebrate everything in their life. Make it a party. Just like the father when the prodigal came home. Father, can we create a celebrant attitude and atmosphere in our homes instead of judgment and negativity, harsh criticism? And lastly, Father, I just pray that we can connect, oh God, purpose with destiny. Learn to speak the language of our children's future. If it's architecture, then I speak architecturally. It's mathematics. I learned the new math. If it's the performing arts, I buy some ballet shoes. God, whatever it is, I'm going to learn how to speak their language. And I'm going to help connect purpose with destiny. Thank you, Father. And over the next 12 months until next June, help me to repeat the pastor or that great guy that I once heard say, or like I've always said, baby, and invest that in our kids and make strong homes for Christ. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Now, guys, I want you to sit for a minute. And it's kind of an emotional moment, you know. But healing begins when you can forgive. You just have to forgive. You can't carry it anymore. I wish my dad was a college graduate, spoke perfect English, and loved hanging out with me, but he didn't. So what am I going to do? Hold that against him? I need to release him. I need to forgive him. See, something happened to the father in the prodigal son's house between the time that the prodigal left and the prodigal came back. Something happened to that father. Because if I had the time, I could show you the four pillars that were established after the son came home. You could figure that out for yourself. That weren't there before he left. So that encourages me. So I just need to forgive and I need to release, and I can't issue any blame. And some of us, like the father in Luke 15, need to have a homecoming with our Heavenly Father in order for our sons and our daughters to have a homecoming. And if you're not right with Jesus this morning, man, you need to get saved. And I mean authentically. Let the Father love you like only a Father in heaven can. And maybe you haven't because you've had this warped experience with your natural father. You've always seen God that way. That's not who he is. He's a God that loves you unconditionally. He's a God that will securely love you and surround you with purpose and destiny and will celebrate your life every day. That's who Father is. So why don't you just invite him to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life? And then lastly, realize this, that you and I can not only come home, but we can stay home. That's a beautiful thing, to come home, isn't it? Christmas, Thanksgiving. There's something about a childhood, isn't it? It's weird. Often as an adult, you go to buy a house and you're looking for something that mirrors what you grew up in. It's like it's just a sense of security and a warmness and a sense of belonging. That's because home is so important. And that's what church ought to be. Church ought to be a place we can call home. But though you might not be my natural father, you celebrate me when you see me and you don't criticize me. And you love me unconditionally even if I blew it and messed up. You learn to speak my love language, and what I'm interested in, suddenly now you're interested in. And it's not all about you, it's about me. I'm like, wow, these people really love me as a person. See, that's how the family of God ought to live and ought to operate. And I think once we do, we're going to change this nation. 20 years ago, and I'm going to close with this. 20 years ago, Brownsville Revival broke out today. That's awesome. I'm happy for it, but it's not enough. And it wasn't enough back then. It was one place, one church, experiencing one move of God. And you know that most of the nation never even heard about it. Even though millions of people might have gone there and stood in line to get in church, gone to the altar, got saved, awesome. How about Toronto? Same thing. Multiple millions of people came from all over the world. Guess what? It's over. Wouldn't it be better if we had a revival of the four pillars in every one of our lives and it spread like wildfire and it touched an entire nation? That's what I think we need. Because our belief system, amen, that's what I believe. And then the signs and wonders will come. But man, let's not get the cart before the horse. Let's get this thing in proper order and get a relationship with our Father in heaven. And He's a good God that gives good gifts to His children. So the gifts will come. But let's not seek what's in His hand. Let's seek His face. Amen. Let's stand up.